It's 8:45 on the clock. We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Durgans Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, and Tiemann, and Byers will be gone all day. The Consent Agenda. General Agenda 1, 2, approve minutes of meeting held November 8, 2017. 3, approve all claims through November 22, 2017 in the amount of $781,793.41, except claim number 1711022 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $897.25 and claim number 1711019 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $191.35 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Dave Norton and Russ Sherman to serve another term on the Board of Variance. Approve reappointing Terry Acton to serve another term on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Approve specs and call for bids for project culvert project number 1114, 1115, and 1117. Bids to be opened on December 20th, 2017 at 9:15 a.m. Approve utility permit number 1082 to Black Hills Energy Distribution LLC. We'll be boring 8 to 10 inch diameter, 12 foot deep under Township Road for 66 feet to construct 6-inch steel natural gas pipeline located in the northwest 1/4 section 28 and the southwest 4th section 21 township 4 north range 6 east midland. Approve utility permit number 1083 to Black Hills Energy Distribution LLC. We'll be boring 8 inches to 10 inch 8 to 10 inch diameter 12 foot deep under county road for 66 feet to construct 6-inch steel natural gas pipeline located in the northwest 4th of section 16 and the southwest 4th of section 9, township 4 north, range 6 east of Midland. Approve utility permit number 1084 to Black Hills Energy Distribution LLC. Will be boring 8-inch to 10-inch diameter, 12-inch deep under county road for 66 feet to construct a 6-inch steel natural gas pipeline located in the northwest 4th of Section 21 and the southwest 4th of Section 16, Township 4 North, Range 6 East of Midland. Approve utility permit number 1085 to Windstream Nebraska, Inc. We'll be plowing in 420 feet of 12-pair cable 4-foot deep in the north shoulder of Ash Road and 775 feet of 12-pair cable in the east shoulder 4-foot deep of South 38th Road to provide service to a new chicken farm at 2534 South 38th Road, located in the southwest 4th Section 8, Township 6, North Range 7 East of Nemaha. Approved declaring a 2005 Dodge Durango VIN number 1D8HB58D45F504333. A surplus and authorizing to sell on Purple Wave Auction. Approve notifying Pam Walkie of Pam's Cleaning of the county's intent to terminate cleaning services at the Highway Department effective December 1st, 2017 to allow for cleaning to be done in-house. A couple correspondence there. We had number four there. We had a correspondence received. We did receive one from Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging. Rex Adams' term will be up on December 31st, 2017, and will leave a vacancy for Gage County. It says Gage County is our only county currently without an elected official representation on the board. In other words, one of us. We look forward to welcoming an appointment. So we will be visiting about that and deciding how to proceed with that. And if someone would like to beyond that from our board, that would be great.
Probably a good one for John since he's on BVCA already, and those two, that was the group that kind of got that bra started.
Well, hopefully here by the next meeting or maybe next committee meeting, we'll have more discussion and see if we can get somebody from the board. Somebody
probably good for who used to be on BVCA.
For Eric, too, yeah. But for either one of you.
Is one of those a motion that needs a second?
Yeah. So Gage County's representation currently going into 2018 are Marlene
Gakely,
Michael Brom from Beatrice. Marlene is Michael Brom from Wymore, and Rich Douglas from Cortland. So our fourth member on there would right now is Rex Adams, but his term is up. The other one we did receive from NIRMA, we did receive the dividend check here on, they mailed it on November 14th, so that's when the letter came. We got a dividend, Gage County did, of $10,003.
This is the second portion for the recommitment we had already received.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
23, something like that. Anyhow, $1,000 in dividend prior.
$23 for that.
Another down payment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Any other discussion on the consent agenda?
Do we need a motion and a second before we can discuss?
Go ahead, Nick.
I'd move to approve the consent agenda as read. The only one I would have a question on is item 12, that 05 Dodge Durango. Is that being replaced with anything? What's that going to be replaced with?
The 2016 Tahoe we got a while back.
I thought that was for investigation.
The Tahoe?
Yeah.
He drives a 2011 Nitro.
So this is for a chief deputy to drive?
No, that's for road deputy.
Road deputy will be in the Tahoe. That Durango is a road deputy. What about the one the chief deputy drives? Isn't that about that same age?
And we're trying to find youth and back there on the money for the 3-8 on his part. So we'll see what we come up with. That is a 2003 and it's higher.
The motion was made by Tiemann and seconded, or who did you write down?
Seconded by Lytle.
That's what Lytle, yeah. Just so we have it on record. You had a question? Nope.
I did. Must not have been important because it's escaped me now.
And I guess I will talk on that. Number 13, I did get a call from the Highway Department staff, and they would like to start as soon as they can. So we decided on the December 1st with a notice because
there's
no clause in the contract.
That cleaning service down there and at the extension office, we did advertise for bids for those, and we did not receive any bids. And Pam at that time then kept on cleaning. And through discussion with Nancy and Becky and Galen and everybody, they've decided to clean down there and stuff and not have a cleaning service right now. So, but like I said, we did advertise for bids and did not receive any bids. So, anything else for consent agenda?
Yeah,
now
I
you
remember.
Got it.
Yep. Did Rex indicate that he didn't want to be on that board anymore?
I think it said on this. I think it said on the letter that Rex.
He indicated sometime back to me that he probably wasn't. But
it just said Rex Adams will be leaving the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board at the expiration of his term on December 31st.
Okay. I can certainly ask him again, but he has kind of indicated that he would stay on for so long that he, you know, does want off.
Yeah. And he was, when Rex was on, then he was our board's representative, and then he stayed on after he was off the board or whatever, so. But like I think Zoe said, though, that we're the only county right now then without a board being represented on their board. So we will try and look for one of our board members to possibly be on there. So anything else on consent agenda? If not, vote 5-0 in favor.
Wait a minute. He's here now.
Oh, 6-0 in favor. Sorry. It was 5-0 up on the board.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 17110122 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $897.25.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jergen, second by Hill. Vote.
Cohen.
Lytle.
Well, it's a good thing this is a short agenda, Myron.
Jergen's made the motion. Now you can pick one of the other three to make the second.
Okay, which one are you?
Matt.
Okay. Bauman.
All right.
I didn't say nothing.
You didn't say anything, did you?
Vote.
That's when you get the most trouble.
You didn't say nothing.
Five in favor and two with Eric being one of them abstaining. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 17110219 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $191.35. Total of claims approved through November 22nd, 2017 in the amount of $782,882.01.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on. Committee reports. Building and ground winter lights.
Dave? Good morning. I did not have too much for this meeting. Mainly I asked for, we'd like to create a little more storage space in a veteran's office to rearrange in there to create more storage. I brought up concerns on the east handicapped entrance, the concrete that's heated, and it's about 17 years old now, and it's starting to show its age now. So I'd like to just get some figures on what that would cost to replace the concrete, which would involve the taking out the heated part to have that replaced also.
And you talked a little bit about maybe the doors, too,
yes,
because of the issues with the wind basically tunneling down there.
Right,
and stuff,
yeah, so that creates a heck of a wind tunnel going through there. So we've had a lot of issues with just replacing parts on the door closure. It's unsafe. We actually sometimes have to put a note. We always leave that door open for handicapped people, but we do put a note on there saying, please use other door when we have a strong wind, because it will just grab hold of that door and fling it open. So yeah, we have that tension cranked down as tight as we can on it. So, and third is winter lights. We had a really good turnout for winter lights. It was a nice night, and Mrs. Claus was handing out candy like crazy this year, so that was really good to see.
So the lights are on and now until middle of January, probably.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization. I don't think anything for equalization. Finance or insurance?
We'll go. I'm sure Juergens will speak to all the money that the road department has spent, much to Galen's glee. And then I'll say something later when you get done reading your.
All right. Big ticket items, BS concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $51,858. Manili Wagner Engineering Consulting, $25,494. NMC Parts and Labor, $24,708. Rock on Hauling, $21,477. Sat Brothers Oil and Fuel, $19,923. These two funds came out of road and bridge sinking, and we got just a minute. Galen, would you, so I don't get it mixed up, explain this. There was two bills going from Johnson, going to Johnson County, or two payments going to Johnson County for $105,000. The other in Nemaha County going for $103,000, basically. Galen can explain it better than I on this particular.
This is for the three box culvert projects. One was for Gage, one for Johnson, and one for Nemaha. And the Gage County sent a letter to Nebraska Department of Transportation requesting the first reimbursement payment of $286,000. $286.88, which is 70% of the total funding available of the projects, and the total amount was available was $408,981.25, and that was for the three projects for Gage County and Johnson County and Nemaha County. 70% was paid out right away to each three county, and the total check came in to Dawn, and she put those in the Road and Bridge Sinking Fund. And so this is the payment out for those other two counties. the 70% paid out right away, and that's those totals. And when the projects are completed, the remaining 30% will be paid out because the state will send another check to us, and then we'll have to distribute out the remaining 30% to the other two counties.
And this is for that bridge match program, which the three counties bid together and got approved.
Yes.
And then Gage County is basically the go-through or flow-through yes. fiscal agent for that
yes.
and stuff. So that's why those dollar amounts are going out to those counties. They're each doing their own culvert project, but the fiscal funds from the state, part of why they had you bid it and approved bidding together was they only deal with one fiscal agent then instead of all three counties and so
and
on.
And I think the state paid 55%
of the total.
Total.
And this is projects. 70% of the 55%.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that so that those counties can pay their own bills.
Yeah. Yes.
We're
right.
not paying
yeah.
their yes. expenses right. on the projects.
Because one of their projects was started here already, or should be started
could
already.
Be started already, yes.
And stuff. So, and ours will be done next summer at some
yes.
time. Or that's the plan, in a way. So.
And it was a good opportunity for the state to
yes.
create another layer of paperwork. Instead of just dealing individually with everybody and not having a go-to in the middle, they just went ahead and created another layer. It was a good idea.
So I did hear, though, I believe that the next go-around that they are going to pay out to each individual county. I don't
okay.
think this will be
not
paid out again.
Because that's due here sometime in December, isn't it?
Yeah, we have to have it into them by December 1st.
Oh, December 1st.
Yes.
So
Mark's working on that now.
Manila they're working on that and deciding which ones are which project to turn in again for us.
Yes.
Okay. Because we won't have a board meeting between now and then.
Gail, and while you're there, speak on that payment to NMC for that $22,000 or $24,000. That was some repairs that were kind of unexpected.
Yeah, it was on there was just under $20,000 went to one of our motor graders. Had just under 7,000 hours on it. There was something on the inside the motor on the lifter broke, and we had to take it in, and they had to tear it all down to make sure that the metal didn't get inside the motor and ruin something. And Nebraska Machinery stood behind part of that bill. I believe it was 50% of the labor and 30% of the covered parts and covered labor on that. We had another 140 that I think it had around 12,000 hours on that had something inside the underneath the lifter that they had to replace in that, and that was like $3,000-$4,000 on that one. So that's why the total bill is $24,000-some.
Did you look to see if those were 140Ms or 140M2s?
One's an M2, and the other's just a 140M.
Which was the $20,000 report?
The M2, the newest one.
The one that they said they won't have problems with anymore now that they fixed all
yeah.
those?
I believe it was a 2012, I believe, the M2 on that one. So, any questions?
Nope. Thank you. Matt, you had something?
Yeah, and I guess stop me if I say something that I shouldn't hear, but and I'm not trying to take anything away from law enforcement, but we're going to be tracking the expenses of the CIR like we did last time. We'll present those. I know we're in negotiations with the FOP. Apparently they felt like how many meetings have we had?
Three, I think.
So after three meetings, they felt like there was a desire to file with the Commission of Industrial Relations regarding negotiations. What did we spend last time they took us to the CIO over the cars?
Well, I am working on
that. Were never taken
that.
Away.
We've got a lot of expenses. The original, and I don't remember the one because we're trying to pull out all the claims for the car, just the cars. The first one was over $50,000. And then the cars was a...
So the last time I went to CIR over a complaint of something that was never actually done, it cost $50,000. Based on an email from the chief deputy about a proposal, it cost the county taxpayers $50,000. And so now we go again after three meetings to the CIR as we're in negotiations and nothing's been final. And I can't speak to the specifics, but so we'll be tracking those expenses too.
Who makes the decision to go to CIR?
I believe either party can, and I think in this, in the way that this, this is almost as thick as the one you got for your taxes.
Not quite.
Yeah, not quite. Well, they filed, and this is public record, so I don't know if that is November the 10th that they filed regarding wanting to have certain personnel added to the FOP, which is, have historically been out. So I think initial look at prevalent practice is that maybe they're not in and haven't been for a while. So after three meetings, it looks like we're going to go back to the CIR. That's disappointing because it's always good to try and work with the FOP, and I think the desire with this board is to do that. Your heads don't prevail.
And Vince, Matt brought it up. The disappointing thing of that filing with CIR is we are in negotiations, and that is an item that should be a part of the negotiations. And it's been more or less pulled out and sent to CIR, and here we are trying to negotiate. It really is a disappointing turn in what we're doing.
After three meetings.
Yep.
Well, actually, after two.
There'll be an updated total.
Before this one.
This was filed after the second meeting.
There'll be an updated total each meeting, how much this that is costing.
Once Don's office is able to gather those numbers, there will be updated totals, yes.
And that's the thing is, that other than the cost to have legal counsel there, really all it does is cost us time to sit down and visit and talk with the FOP, and now we'll move beyond that. You know, time is priceless, but time is cheap in some cases. But now this time will have a bill price tag to it.
And as we all know, as Gus comes in 5-6 times a year and says, "Well, I'm getting up close to my expenditures and my budget total," you know, that bottom line is very tight, and we start spending $50,000-$60,000 out of Gus's line. That, you know, he was trying to put on an extra road deputies to try and take some stress off of these guys, and I
may not help.
Yeah,
and we did have a long-term contract that ended in June 30th of 17, and so I think we recognize there's some movement we have to make. I think there's a lot of head nodding going on. Yeah, we got to move, and that happens when you get a long-term agreement. You try to shoot for the future, and sometimes you miss the mark, and so you got to kind of catch up sometimes. And I don't think there's anyone here that's opposed to trying to do the right thing. But this is just disappointing. And so we'll, from a finance standpoint, as Don gets those numbers, we'll try to present those and keep everybody up to speed as to what the expenses are.
Anything else for finance, insurance? Human resources, employee relations.
The only thing is FOP negotiations, as Matt and Gary have mentioned.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
Emergency management, Lisa did report all of her goings-ons and where she has been going, and I think you could say that the emergency manager's office is open for business. Lisa has done a good job up to this point in getting out and making herself seen and communicating with the different responders, and she's done a good job getting started. I just encourage anybody in the emergency management side of Gage County, if there's something you need or questions you have, don't be afraid to holler at Lisa and make that connection, because she's definitely there to take care of the office. So definitely a good turn.
And she also did comment that the zoning, there's been people come down there to her office now with the zoning, and that's working either there or, if she's not there, up to the clerk's office. So, and she's working at, there are some areas or some locations out in the county that apparently don't either have the 911 signs anymore, or maybe they're a little wrong. They're trying to develop a, going through those.
Oh, and I think that's really important. There was a huge effort to an undertaking several years ago to put those out, and so that is a public safety issue. So if folks do have a 911 address sign that they've moved for whatever reason, or their address, if you call for help and they can't find you, it's not like the old days where everybody knew where everybody lived. It's different now, with a lot of acreages and things like that, and new developments and new homes. So boy, if you're missing a sign, you got to let us know, because that's got to get there. If you move it, knock it down. If Juergens comes and takes your post to make a fence, you know, come get a new one. But it is a serious thing. All joking aside, those are out there for a reason. They're invaluable. I serve on two rural fire departments, and it is helpful to see where that address is. So those are important.
If you move, those are good posts too, Matt.
Are they? They're galvanized.
and I think, Matt, I think Galen, those are on the right side of the driveway. I think is the
by convention they're supposed to be on the right hand side. Yeah. So if there was snow or something that or we couldn't see if there was taller grass, they know there's a drive there, so it's supposed to be on the right hand side. So if you move it way down the road or something, and I think sometimes they were probably put too close if there was equipment or something that needed to get in there, but there really should be. That was by convention, that was by design, that was supposed to be that way.
And one thing Lisa mentioned is that sometimes when people move, or maybe they just build a new house away from where they were, you know, that they mistakenly take their old address sign with them, and they shouldn't be, because if they moved or built new, it's a different location and it's going to show up different on the GPS, and they just need to get a new sign.
30 years ago that didn't happen, but nowadays you go out there and the GPS, it's ping that spot, and that's the actual address and stuff. Well, 30 years ago, we didn't have that to ping.
No.
But now the phone and everything and stuff. So working on that. Golden Bridge, Terry?
In the consent agenda, we approved specs and called for bids on 3 culvert projects. Bids will be opened on 12/2017. These are all replacing 3 bridges with twin or triple culverts. These were all in the one-year plan that we had in place for
and also
this year.
Also in our budget for this year.
Yes, sir. Dirt crews doing some shouldering on a lot of shouldering on PWF. Asphalt crew crack sealing. Batching concrete on the spurs. We've already discussed the $20,000 bill to CAT. Also, we had over a $6,000 bill on our 2014 International dump truck. Again, payments to those counties. Eric's Adams Northwest Bridge project is now being scheduled for letting for January 18th, 2018. We'll see if it happens.
Well, originally that had been all the time here in November they were going to, and we hadn't gotten any notification or whatever, but Galen did get this now that they've backed that up a couple months to let out to have that. And that project is one of those old projects that's been going on for I don't know how many years in maybe in 2018 that bridge will get done. I don't know. So that it's called Adams Northwest, but it's up there on Apple Road about 2 miles south of Firth. That's where it's at. So yep.
I do like, we should probably rename that project the Teeman Bridge Project. I think that's got a ring to it.
I don't think Teeman's real impressed with the state on that project.
Teeman, I'll make that note here.
Whose district is that bridge in? That's an expensive project.
Well, we don't know yet. It's not out. The bids aren't in yet. So.
working on the 21st Township for gravel hauling for fall allotment. Weather permitting, looks like we'll be done this fall.
Weather permitting.
It looks good.
Yep.
For that.
Are the roads in good shape? Throw it out there.
How are those roads, Terry?
They're in damn good shape right now.
My God, we're screwed now.
It's going to snow before Sunday.
That's it.
Okay. Caterpillar's in good shape. International's in good shape.
That's it.
Anything else for Roden Bridge? All right, well, we had a timed event here with Paul Hay at 9 o'clock. I wonder if he forgot about this. Tire amnesty grant?
Nine,
maybe a little later. I don't see Paul here yet.
It's the tire amnesty we do every year.
Yeah, same thing.
What's the date?
It's not till next year, but I think he indicated that, you know, there was some conversation here about another entity that asked about doing an amnesty, and so he just needed some clarification if we were going to go with him. and they were going to pursue the grant, I think.
When that lady from SIN was down at one time, they talked about looking into something like that.
Not for our area necessarily, though, since we do it, I thought that was for other areas.
Well, she didn't specify that day, because I got a phone call right away.
I don't think they realized that.
No, and I visited with her, too. I can't remember her name, but I did call her and visit with her then and stuff, so.
He may be here a little bit later, too.
We'll see what
Paul shows up or when he does.
Can I back up a little bit?
Yep.
Okay. During law enforcement should have been brought up, but Gus held a meeting. Did we talk about that?
No, that'd be good. We back up.
Talk about that a little
back up
bit.
To law enforcement a little bit. If Gus wanted to talk about the meeting down in Barnston last week.
Yeah. Morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
Thank you, Jurgens.
Yes, as Trey alluded to, we did have a meeting back like the 14th. At a town hall meeting in Barnston at the Legion. We had probably 20-25 there, and I think John and Gary and Terry there with us, Roger and some of my deputies. There was getting to be some people down there pretty irate over all the criminal activity. Then we'd work a case, get them arrested, they get released right away and start the process of stealing again. So we had that meeting to kind of tell them how it works when it's first calling dispatch and goes through us an investigation and to Roger and the courts and so forth and so on. And they went pretty well, I thought. One thing I want to get them to understand is Roger made it hopefully clear to them that we are not a stand your ground state. So maybe what that means is you can protect yourself and your family, but you can't shoot someone that's out there stealing your battery off your irrigation well. You just can't do that. So they started figuring, well, can we wound them? Can we shoot them in the knee and things like this? So I'm trying to get the point across. You cannot absolutely do those things. That's our job. We don't wound. We're trained to shoot to kill if we pull our weapon. The fact was, and I hope they understand, John and I have discussed this before, anymore, because I'm getting sued so much, it's a liability-free personally. If you would shoot somebody and it turns out you're not supposed to, something went wrong, then commit you personally. So that's very, very important. They understood that. And so I felt pretty good. Actually, I thought it was a little calmer than I thought it was going to be from the rumors I've been having. But I thought it was attended very well, and it hopefully served the purpose. John's talked a couple of them afterwards, and it sounds like they're pretty happy with the meeting overall. And so with Terry there, it took care of everything. I just simmered everybody down right now.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it did. I think it was tended well. And so he mentioned, you know, I have to do that around the county on a regular basis. So I said, well, yeah, I suppose it would be if I had the time to get that all done. It would be good to do that. So, but anyway, that was the main thing.
During that meeting, you had two of your investigators there. I can't remember the name, but I was impressed with both of them. Who's the older?
Tim Hansen is my criminal investigator, and then Matt Ernst is road deputy and part-time drug investigator, and he's one I'm trying to get at least him to get a slot filled for him so he can go on the road full-time for drugs. So they're both making a big dent in what we've got going on in drugs right now, and Tim's real big on the sex offender registry, so he's making a lot of arrests on that and tracks those people on a daily basis around the county. So it's been working. Those two doing a very good job for us, so very happy with it. I'm glad they can make it because they can kind of interject some things there as well. So, yeah, went well.
Now, Gus, have you had any of those people call in and talk to the sheriff's office about things down there? Because that's what you're really needing is information.
That is. And I don't know, because if they would call in, more likely the stress was to go to communications and get a deputy notified and tell them. I don't know my personal if they have, but that is certainly what we want anybody to do, is don't take things into your own hands. Just do the proper channels and get a hold of communications, and they'll get a deputy assigned to it. And the other thing we try to get them to understand, if there's something missing a battery, they just don't worry about stuff like that, little things. It's important they call in, we get on file, because like the last time we had a big haul down there, we arrested somebody. A lot of the equipment and items we found, no idea who it belonged to. And another thing we try to stress is mark your property somehow, because many items of that haul, people come up, looked at it, said, that's mine. I said, well, can you tell us how? I can't. I just tell you it's mine. I said, Roger ain't going to be able to get anything done on that, and the judge isn't going to listen to that. I have to be able to prove that was your property. So any kind of a mark, initials, paint, something on there that help us identify that when it would go to court. So help Roger's case as well. So Anything else you think about you want to add? Or?
I thought it went very well, and I think the people that were there just need some reassurance that the process, unfortunately, is slow.
It's what it is. That's right.
And as I indicated to them, not sometimes, the defendant's rights are protected more than our victims.
Absolutely,
it
is.
Not just Nebraska. So. Yeah. And we did point out to him, Carrie McGurney is very good. We use her for our victims' rights.
They're for them.
Here in Gage County, and she does a real good job keeping people apprised of what their case is doing. So.
And that's all victims' rights, not just – I thought Carrie did, like, child abuse, sexual assault, things like that. I didn't realize she was for all victims like that. So I had misspoke before when I talked to a couple people, and I told them since that's not right. I just assumed it was more family problems.
What we try to do is when we're on a call, we try to give them the cards because she's the intermediate because instead of calling all the time – she can talk to us, see what's going on, talk to Roger's office, and get back to him. Because many times, my guys just won't get that done. They should, but a lot of times they get busy and don't. So Carrie is just that extra person there. Really is handy to have that person there. So,
what would be the process to get Nebraska to become a stand your ground state?
Well, and again, Nebraska probably is closer to a stand your ground state than a lot of states surrounding us. Basically, the law is that if somebody comes into your home, you're in your bedroom or you're protecting your children or your spouse, you're entitled to use deadly force. And that's basically the law now. And but again, if you see somebody out in your Quonset taking your Lincoln Welder out the back door, you shouldn't cap them.
So to correct that so that you can, that would go through the legislature then? And they'd have to
that go through the legislature and immediately to the courts.
Well, it would have
it's been decided. You can't, whether you like it or not, you can't shoot somebody over your property. This isn't, you know, when you used to, somebody would take a cow or 20 of them out west and you'd find the only tree in Sheridan County and hang them from it.
I'm not saying you have to shoot them. I mean, even with your bare hands, you can't remove them. Yes, but that would be through the legislature?
Again, that's the best thing, again, is we tried to emphasize in Barnston, call the law enforcement, get them down there. They're trained, and if somebody does resist with lethal force, then they know how to react. One of the things, and I know we have a lot of carry permits out there. We got a lot of people with firearms, which I'm an avid, Second Amendment right. But it's one thing to draw down on a person and pull a trigger. They're trained for it. You hesitate, they may be armed. They may be on drugs. You don't know. And the last thing I want is have a theft turn into, a murder case over a good citizen that was trying to protect their home. So I know it's not perfect, but give them a call and let them handle it.
That might be a mission for whoever might be in the legislature to work towards the correct property rights for owners.
And if that, if that would happen, unfortunately, that good citizen would spend a lot of time behind bars.
That's the bad thing. I mean, that property owner should be protected before anybody coming onto the property.
But my understanding is in the process of taking the property, if they threaten you with bodily injury, you have the right to defend yourself.
See, if you or your family...
Yep.
That's a fine line. You got to know, and that's why we train, and the public hard to understand that you just can't pull and shoot. There's got to be a fine line there that you're going to walk. So,
And I don't think people would wish that on anyone.
That'd
no.
It'll be you or somebody else's worst day.
There are probably a few people down there that night.
even if you're mad at someone, that'd be a terrible situation.
And unfortunately, like I said, they have no scruples about their state or if they're not killed, suing the landowner. Which, that's where, bad situation becomes absolutely intolerable.
Okay.
Does.
Gary, one more comment?
Yeah. One of the things that Gus brought up was the fact that when they draw their weapons, it's shoot to kill. Something I think is important to say is that, since I've been 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere in there. I started hunting, and I've been around guns my whole life. And that is exact what Gus said is exactly the way the gun is supposed to be used. If you draw a gun on somebody, it's to kill somebody. It's not to injure them. And that's the way you got to think about it, because if you think you're shooting somebody in the kneecap and you're off and you hit them in the chest, you know, you can't think that you're going to try and shoot somebody to injure them. If you draw a gun on somebody, it's for lethal. And shooting somebody's vehicle, you know, there's so many ways that bullet can bounce and move, and you might intend to disable a vehicle and ends up bouncing and killing somebody. So you got to keep in mind that it's just not a good idea to draw a gun down on somebody. And, I mean, it just isn't. If it's property, as much as we don't want to let that happen to our property and our families, as long as you're not in danger, leave it be. Leave it be. The property can be replaced.
Exactly right.
Right.
I use the example of Matt Dillon. I addressed a question out of Barson. I got that blank look and dating myself of Gunsmoke. Not everybody's seen Gunsmoke, apparently.
Who played Festus?
He was just Festus to me. There was actually, well, Weaver did initially. I don't know who the second guy was.
We're on the bottom of that first page, or that second page there. We'll move on. Neither one of those are here right now, so we'll go to entertain a motion to approve or disapprove changing the Highway Department office hours to 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. effective December 4th, 2017.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann.
Back 2 weeks, huh?
Part of this came about, Galen brought this forward at the committee meetings, since Nancy is not doing zoning and there's really not the need to be there till 5 o'clock. We always kept that office open till 5 o'clock, partly because of that and other reasons also, but the crews are off at 3:30, down there, so, Galen came forward and requested if they couldn't have this, that they could close down there at 4, open at 7 and close at 4. And stuff. So that's just a change in hours that the last hour there, since there's not a lot of activity going on and not being open for zoning down there anymore, they're going to change that to 4 o'clock. So,
one question, Galen. I had seen no reason that's an issue. The one question I do have though is payroll. That does allow for all the time to get everything up to them so that everything's on time, correct?
As long as we send it down after the guys clock out, so as long as they will look at it right away, it should be okay. Because usually if Becky's gone, Nancy was still there. So okay. Play it by ear and see how it goes.
With that new time clock system, everything should be running smooth and everything should be fine, right?
Right. It just does it miraculously all by itself.
Or magic.
Are you going to ask if it covers in arrears, though?
Any more questions? If not, we'll vote. 6-0 in favor. Review of proposed contract with Terracon for completion of Phase 1 environmental study on bus stop 621 North 6th Street.
Did everybody get a copy of it? Okay. Basically, it's a fairly standard contract. I went with this company. I talked with the city of Beatrice. They've used Terracon on a couple of their projects. Had good luck with them. And I had a couple of really good meetings with them over the phone. They explained how it would work and then sent the contract for your review. And the cost on it is basically $2,300. It's a flat fee. And the contract goes through and tells you exactly what they will be doing. We're doing it a little early. I think our closing date is right after the first of the year. And this gives us an opportunity. If there was anything found, we'd have still time to do a phase two if we needed to. So if you've got any specific questions, I'll try and address those.
I thought that was in the contract that Jerry was going to pay for the phase one. Is that not right?
No, we pay phase one. Yeah.
If there's something shows up.
He had something else done right before the agreement. Was that just the recertification of the tanks? Or
he had his third quarter inspection, and he replaced, and I can't tell you what it is, but there was a mechanical part that was a problem. He went ahead and took care of that, and I got a copy of that report He gave a copy to Jim, and Jim passed it on to me. But if we approve this, and basically I'll email this up and put them in contact. Jerry's got all the files and everything that they can go over, so hopefully it'll go fairly, quickly.
So you endorse this contract?
What's that?
You endorse this contract?
Yeah, I would recommend you approve that so we can keep moving on this.
Make a motion to approve, then.
Second.
The county attorney for conditions.
The next one was approve or disapprove contract with Terracon Consulting for Phase 1 Steady, and we have a motion from Bauman and a second from Lytle. Any other questions?
Yep. Not a question, but I think now would be a good time to make a statement. I received a phone message questioning this purchase of property and the leaking fuel tanks that are underneath of it. The way the fuel business works is you have underground tanks, and they have a leak control system that is connected to them. So if there is any type of a leak, you instantly know if you're losing any amount of product out of those tanks. And that system has a printout that is done. I believe you have to do it weekly, and then you also have to do a monthly one. So there's one every week, and then every 12 months, once every month, there's an additional one done that'll indicate if there's any leaks. So this property over here is set up with that equipment, and as far as we know, there is no leaking tanks underneath that property. Second item, we bought that property in order to give Gus more room for his storage, which has been a problem for the last 7 years that I've been on the board. Gus has never had enough room for his storage and to be able to take the property that they need for the cases that the county attorney's office and others are trying to prosecute. It also is trying to alleviate another issue, which we have, is the ADA issue over there. We're trying to create office space that's on the ground level so that we do not have the ADA issue with the old stairs over there, which are really difficult to build a ramp or anything else around with the limited amount of space. So this purchase is not to build a jail. Yes, it is buying property on the block where the jail is, that sometime down the road there might be a jail there, a new jail. Might be, might not. But this is to alleviate two issues, one being the ADA issue, which was going to cost us quite a bit of money just to put a ramp in or do or a lift or whatever. And the other thing is a storage thing. This is not to build a jail at this time.
So, Gary, the caller that asked about the leak, were you able to contact them back?
No, I didn't. And I would ask that anybody that calls anybody on the board, please leave your name and number. Don't block the caller ID so that person can't call you back. We love to have them conversations and get the word out as to what is going on. And when you block your caller ID and you don't leave your name, them calls can't be returned, and we don't have the ability to help discuss those things through when you have questions. And these are good questions to ask because, the public doesn't know these answers a lot of times, and it's good to know. It's good to be able to have that conversation. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Any more questions or comments? If not, vote 6-0 in favor. We have somebody that showed up. Is that one of our
food bank?
Good. We'll go back. Yeah, we're ready for you. Yeah. Are you John Mabry?
I am.
Okay, good. Come on up and
read
you on the agenda.
I was told 9:30 would be good. Sorry if I kept you waiting for me.
Oh, no. We had other things we could do.
Okay.
So you bet.
Well, I won't take up too much time.
Give your name and who you're representing and stuff.
My name is John Mabry, M-A-B-R-Y, and I am the development director for the Food Bank of Lincoln. We do a lot of work with a lot of great partners here in Gage County, and there's a few of us that would like to see our name changed to the Food Bank of Southeast Nebraska, because that's who we serve. We serve 16 counties in our service area, and I've got handouts. Can I just start them here?
Yep.
send them around? Does
that work? Oh, yeah, thank you.
Just send them around. I hope I brought enough.
Well, the irony is from the food bank, I thought we were going to get fed today.
You are.
I'm sorry.
You're looking a little underweight over there.
I'm sorry.
That's the problem.
I have a couple of mints I could share. But just briefly, we have great partners here, and we're grateful for all of them. Gage County is certainly there's some need here, but it's no different than all of our 16 counties. As you'll see on the handout, the food insecurity rate in Gage County is 12.5% of the population, meaning those folks who aren't really sure how or when they're going to get their next meal, usually because of economic hardship. And of that total, 890 are kiddos under the age of 18. The good news is there's a wonderful backpack program here, and I will leave people out if I try to name all the folks who are part of that, who do the wonderful work to get backpacks to kids on the weekend. But we are grateful for all of them. We have a wonderful Empty Bowls event at the Country Club every year, and raises a lot of money to feed kiddos. So that's a beautiful thing. And I won't go through the whole deal because I want to see if there are any questions, but we have food pantries and other folks throughout the county who are helping us. The Hardens down in Wymore, Jody at the Salvation Army, Karen and everybody at St. John, and I could go on and on, but my main purpose for being here is just to share these statistics with you and to thank you and to thank everybody in Gage County for all you do to help us. So with that, if there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Just one is just a comment. I think your timing is perfect. You know, as we go in for tomorrow, we're all going to fill our bellies full of food, and sometimes we take for granted there's a lot of folks out there that don't have the means to do so. So I appreciate your efforts. And I used to be on the school board, and I know that it's significantly higher now, but the amount of school districts and the percentage of free and reduced lunches is just astronomical. Some districts, right, I think, are over 80% free, right, and reduced. And so that spills over outside of the school day. And when there's a holiday and the kids are out of school, the ability to feed those children, because sometimes that's their best meal of the day,
yep,
and sometimes their only meal of the day. So I appreciate your efforts. I think it's a wonderful thing. And you're right, there's a lot of entities that kick in these small communities and try to help out. So
yep,
we take for granted sometimes how bountiful our food is, and there's others, right, that have nothing.
No, I appreciate that. We do. We're lucky to have the friends we have here doing all the good work that you're doing. So
explain that a little bit. We hear a lot about the food bank in Lincoln, and we understand, I think, that. But
right,
for some of us, that's kind of always thought of as Lincoln. So how is this relationship, I guess, do these work under you, or are you working together, how is that?
That's a good question. We think of it as working together. Feeding America is our parent organization, and Feeding America has 200-some food banks throughout the country, and we're one of them. The only other Feeding America food bank in the state is the Omaha Food Bank for the Heartland. So we've been assigned 16 counties, and we love every one of them. And, of course, we're based in Lancaster, but we get out and about, and we have monthly food distributions around, you know, in Gage County and in each of our 16 counties. And we now have backpack programs in each of our 16 counties. So, like I said, we don't play favorites. We want to serve all 16 counties. That we find that some counties, for lack of a better term, are maybe less interested in our assistance, but that's okay. As long as they have their own methods of getting food to folks, we're happy to see that happen. But Gage County, everyone, you know, we're just working together is what we're doing, like you said, and that's what it's all about.
So the backpack program isn't through the school, then? That's through the Lincoln Food Bank?
It is a combination. The school folks and, you know, other folks with Pinnacle and other, you know, I know banks, and there's other great sponsors, they do most of the heavy lifting. They get the food from us, and we have a way of providing 6 different menus, which we rotate every week. We buy the food in bulk, and we have it in our place in Lincoln, and then we send it out either every 6 weeks or every 12 weeks for local volunteers to sort it and get it ready and put in bags. So school folks and the folks here do most of the hard work. We just bring a truck down with all that food, and then it gets sorted and distributed. And one, just so you know, one backpack student, to provide a backpack for a student for a whole school year is about $250. So, that is a lot if you think about it, you know, that's a, you know, to provide food for a whole year, it's a pretty good deal. And so, in Beatrice and other communities, they've decided to partner with us to get the food. They raise the money, and then we provide the food. Good questions. Anyone else?
Yeah, anything else for John? If not, thank you for coming down and presenting this. So
thank you for all you do, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, yes. And we'll see if Paul Hay was on there for the tire amnesty, and we'll see if he can be here for the next meeting or whatever, maybe to have a discussion on that. Did we vote on that? We voted on the contract with Teracom. Teracom.
Yep.
Anything else? Did
Myron?
Oh,
hey, on this deal with Paul Hay, am I misunderstanding? Did we have a misunderstanding, and Paul thinks that we're not needing to do the tire amnesty anymore because of SEND, or is that what?
No, I think this is for the tire amnesty maybe coming up next year.
It is for next year.
Yeah.
In my discussion, I think he just wanted to be clear that it was okay for them to go ahead and pursue the grant,
right. That
we weren't going
Absolutely.
To switch.
I don't know why, because when Jack was here, she said that Beatrice, or that our area had one already established, that they would work on the perimeter areas. So.
And they have to get approval from us anyhow, because you sign it, so they have to get approval that you want to go ahead and move forward with
it. But I think there was somewhat of a confusion or a little bit, because, you know, she mentioned that, maybe in other areas or something, and then, like I said, I got several phone calls, so we did visit with her
He needs to come in for the approval
anyway. They always come every year for...
That's a good program. I don't think we want to stop what we're doing.
No,
for sure.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a couple creek bottoms down there in Glenwood Township that really need this.
Yeah. Jurgen's been dumping tires again.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't have much erosion, but... And seeing you for a while, maybe you deserve to see you.
They do pile up. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else for good of the order?
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. If not, we have a closed session, so I'll entertain a motion at 9:42 on the clock to go into closed session. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of a needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And this has mainly to do with our FOP negotiations. And litigation update. Oh, I guess we didn't. Just a minute. Hold it. Sit down. Just
hey,
a minute.
Look.
Hold it.
I'm not leaving.
That was.
But you got to be in the room when we vote, don't you?
But,
don't leave yet.
Well, we need to vote. But before we go into closed session, Roger, myself, Don, and Gus, we did go up to Omaha last Thursday for the to be after 6 oral arguments. And I think let's take a minute before we vote on that and go into there and just have a little bit of, comments on what actually happened up there, I guess. I mean, as far as the time it took and stuff. I mean, I can make a few comments. But go ahead, Roger.
Well, I just say that I think Melody did the main presentation. I thought she did a very good job. And then Mr. Patterson represented the Beatrice 6. And then Pat O'Brien had a short rebuttal. Yeah. And, of course, obviously I'm a little biased, but I thought Pat did an excellent job of basically calling the other side out on some exaggerations they made in the evidence. That's about as nice as I can put it. But I thought, I thought they did very well as far as getting a read. You don't know. There's a lot of questions from the judges. Good questions. We're anticipating somewhere around 60, 90 days. They did comment, and I think that was in the paper, that it was an extremely complicated case because of so many issues that the jury instructions were unbelievable in that case. So, I thought our attorneys did a good job of presenting the issues that we wanted them to have in front of the Eighth Circuit. And everybody say a prayer, and hopefully
that's right.
Get a good result.
I'll make another at 9 o'clock there, and there was a 3-member panel of judges there, and they had 6 cases on the docket for that day. Ours being the first one up. They had a big clock, a digital clock that was probably maybe 4 inches by 8 inches tall. And that thing started when you started. It started on 20 minutes, and it started running down. And somewhere along the line, I thought at one time that you presented your case, and then at the end was all the judges' questions. That didn't happen that way. When your 20 minutes started, Melody didn't even get into it 30 seconds, and there was a question already. So you had time in that to give your oral presentation you wanted to, plus in that 20 minutes, you had to answer any questions that the judges had, both sides. So like Roger said, Melody took each side had 20 minutes. Melody took approximately 15 minutes. Then their side did their 20 minutes, and then we had, Pat knew it was 3 minutes and 92 seconds for the rebuttal because that's all that was left on that clock. So they watched that and stuff. So each side had multiple questions asked by the judges. So, and sometimes you could see them trying to answer a question and then trying to find back where they were, their train of thought was before the question. So it was pretty, I would call it pretty rapid or whatever as it went through. But 45 minutes, we were done and out of there when that thing started. So, but yeah, we hadn't talked about that, and I think while you guys were still here, I think that was good to maybe visit a little bit about that. So,
and now we'll hear something back hopefully within the next 3 months. Is that correct?
Or I'd say 2 to 3 months.
Two to three months.
That's an estimate.
It's on their timeline. It's on the Eighth Circuit Court. Those panel of 3 judges, whenever they get their decision made.
People ask about that all the time, yep. though, and we don't know the answer to the actual time either. It's just an estimation of probably 2 to 3 months.
And that's based on our attorneys who do a lot of practice in front of the federal court system.
Yep.
These 3 that were up there then, were they new from what we had in the past from down there?
It was a different panel than what
they was a different panel?
As I understand, there wasn't any of them the same as what we had before? I don't know that.
I can't speak to that. But and again, it was a panel of 3.
Panel of 3.
To the entire bank. So,
and you need to remember, they had all the written arguments and had they were able to look at all of those. And a lot of their questions, you could tell, or some of their questions at least, tied into those written arguments.
Briefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting to see the process.
Yeah, very interesting.
I've never been up to it before, so.
Yeah. That was it, but like I said, that now there was 6 cases there that day, so it had 4 or 5 rows, and you could fit
7 people in one row.
7 people on each side on the aisle and stuff. So there was, probably roughly 40 people in there, but then not all of them got up after our case was done because some of them were in there. There was the 2 attorneys for NACO were there, and the one, Elaine, I talked to her. And no, they were staying for the next case because that also had an interest for county. So you could come and go as you wanted to. But like I said, 6 cases, they got done with ours. They took maybe 5 minutes for everybody to come in and set up again, and they were off on the next case. So
basically, my understanding, what they do is they'll hold court for 3 days while they're in Omaha. Then they'll go back to St. Louis, and for the next month or so, they'll determine, take votes and write an opinion. So
it was interesting, though. So, but that was last Thursday, so we'll see how it comes out. Now, we never had anybody make a motion to go into closed session, did we?
Nope.
9:49 on the clock, we'll go into closed session since we entered. Had that discussion there. Necessary for protection of public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. Need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor and Bauman voting nay. And Byers gone. Entertain a motion for, at 10:36 on the clock to come out of closed session.
Don't move.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Paul's here. Let's go ahead and hit. I mean, Matt can leave, but let's go ahead and get Paul taken care of.
Yep. Well, before we close, Paul Hay is now here. I know the guys left, and we thought we'd have you next meeting, but since you're here, this is great.
I am just here to verify that Keep Beatrice Beautiful, along with University of Nebraska Extension, will file the next month for a grant for tire amnesty. This will be conducted in August next year. We have done this, and we've had some phenomenal results of getting tire piles from rural residences, farms, cooperation with the small towns of having cleanups, and working on getting some of these messes picked up over the years. We will continue to try to do that. We need to have, at some point, your endorsement. If we get the grant, then we're going to have your endorsement because you're the signee. We've never had any overage or had any difficulty with that, but there were some discussions with some other group or something like that. We just want to verify that we would go forward and do this or not. So,
Paul, go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
When Send was here, they were discussing doing some tire cleanups, but they said that we do a good job here locally. They would be looking more at their perimeter or other locations, not here. So nothing changes.
No,
you guys.
And I visited with a lady that was here too, and very specifically told her she, before anything like that would ever happen here, they need to contact Beatrice Beautiful and all of that. So we're very much aware and very thankful for what done in the past, and hope we can do it again. I'll just say that.
We're willing to continue and see what we can do, and we've I think had some pretty good successes of cleaning up, not just the usual or regular, but cleaning up some of the messes that were out there that that people have inherited.
Your last cleanup, I know specifically there was a farmer we actually helped. They bought a place, tons of tires in the trees and stuff. They pulled them out, cleaned it up. Those would have sat there for years if you didn't have this. So it's been a really good program, and we thank you for your work on this. It's a great grant.
We've been positive to that, and sometimes we haven't worried too much. We had one of those situations that was in Jefferson County. Under their rules, they could hardly get any picked up there. We cooperated and got those tires in here and got them cleaned up. So we don't worry sometimes about, you know, exactly where the mess is. If it's within range and we can do it and it follows the guidelines of the grant and everything else, we're trying to get done. So, yep.
There is one thing that changed. I drive by a couple of machine sheds that got blown away in the June wind, and a couple of them had a hell of a lot of tires on the inside of them, and they're waiting for the next grant.
Yeah. Well, tell them to get in touch with us.
But the benefit from that, though, John, is that when you're out hunting.
I just wanted to make an appearance because, there was a little bit of concern, and we wanted to be sure we're on track. So
we are.
Thank you very much.
As far as we're concerned, you definitely are. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order? If not, we'll adjourn at 10:40 on the clock.
I didn't hear a motion to adjourn.
I didn't either, but he was pretty